You're tuned to 1360. This is WNAH, Nashville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Hi, this is One of Messiah Congregation. Thank you for being here this afternoon. And we come from a Hebrew-Jewish perspective. So if you're listening, I say shalom to everyone from Kahal Echad B'Mashiach, One of Messiah Congregation. We are Jews and Gentiles that believe in the Messiah. And yes, we are part of the Israel of God. And I hope you join us because the new covenant was given to the house of Israel. That's Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, Jeremiah 31:31. Anyway, praise the Lord. I just thank God we could be here. And my wife's here today also.
Shalom. It's good to be here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Today is February the 16th, 2007. However, we're still in the 11th month of God called Shavat, and it's the 27th day. You know, in a couple more days, actually, Sunday to be precise, that's February the 18th, at sundown, it's going to be the first day of the 12th month of God called Adar. And now, I don't know if the Christians out there ever read their Bibles good enough as we do, but the 11th month is in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 7. That's Zechariah 1, verse 7. And then the 12th month, which is only Sunday night, that's in Esther chapter 3, verse 7. So we have Zechariah 1, 7, Esther 3, 7. You can remember that, I bet. But God has his own calendar. Praise the Lord. And we're trying to teach everyone that these things are in the Bible. It's nothing we made up. And you should be knowing that, you know, unfortunately, every day you wake up, you're following Pope Gregory's calendar, Gregorian calendar. Are you Catholic? Go ask yourself in the mirror. Anyway, I know most people listening are probably Protestants, I suspect. But anyway, we come from a Jewish perspective of the scriptures, and I thank God we could be here.
That's right, because there's no Catholics and there's no Protestants in the Bible. In the Bible were the Jews who got the commandments of God, the commandments of God, not the commandments for the Jews. They were commandments for anyone who joined the Israel of God and his feast days. And then we have the apostles who found the Messiah through the scriptures, and those are the people we follow, not the church fathers of the Catholics or the Protestants.
That's right. Now, we're live at the studio, and that's 256-1360. That's 615-256-1360. We are One of Messiah Congregation.
And what is going to be our subject for today, Angelo?
Well, you know, today it's another mixed bag, I must be honest. I get the word distraught would be a good word.
Right.
When I hear all these like ministers, big-time ministers with megabucks, preaching false doctrine. And, you know, just like, you know, there's a website out there called Way of the Master with Kurt Cameron and that other guy. What's his name? No, his partner.
Oh.
I'll tell you in a moment. I have it written down. But these guys, they run around the country, and they do say a lot of good stuff, except for they tell people to break the fourth commandment. When they've just finished telling everybody that you must keep the commandments, that the law was given so you know what sin is, and that all sounds wonderful. Then all of a sudden, they throw away the fourth commandment. How do you understand that?
Well, the only way to understand that is because they still have a lot of entrenched church doctrine they can't seem to kick. You know, because if you recognize the commandments but yet take out one, any lawyer could tell you can't do that. It's a contract.
Well, that's what we were talking about on the way here. You know, the guy's name is Ray Comfort. He's not comforting me because... you know, he's got a lot of the thing that bothers me, these guys do have a lot of good things to say, you know, but then all of a sudden, because of this Protestantism, they go amok, you know, they go shipwreck. And, you know, I pray that God will open their eyes and their hearts. And, you know, we're not here to just pick on people, but we're here to make straight the way of the Lord. I'm Malachi, the minister of One of Messiah. I'll be glad to go over the Bible with anybody. Matter of fact, tonight starts the Sabbath of the Lord, the fourth commandment. There's 10 commandments, everybody. I mean, what is so hard for people to digest? There's 10 commandments.
And that's the basis, the basic foundation of your faith, which has gone shipwreck because now there is no foundation. If you just believe that Jesus is the name of the Messiah, you have to believe in Jesus. He is the Word of God, the entire Word of God, and he's the one that gave us the commandments.
You know, today's a day like, you know, all I could say is, like, these big ministers, you know, there's major ministers on TV, and, you know, some of them started this thing called dual covenant theology. And what that really says is that Jews that are never accepted the Messiah, they have a different covenant with God. They don't need to accept the Messiah, which is totally heresy. Because if you go to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, just to say one verse, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There's no dual covenants. The word of God is straight. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because the world has made up a difference. They made up a difference between the church and Israel. How many bodies is there?
There's one body.
And are we all should be one?
Absolutely.
How many gods is there?
There's one God.
How many lords is there?
There's one Lord.
How many baptisms?
One baptism.
How many faiths?
One faith.
No, I mean, this is simple Bible, I would say, level one of Bible. There's one God. There isn't the church and Israel. You know, the new covenant was given to the house of Israel. That's Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. It wasn't given to the church. What church? The word is ekklesia in the Greek, and that means the set-apart ones, the holy ones, kadosh. Are you kadosh? Are you keeping the commandments?
That's right. So get back to your Jewish Hebrew roots, because our church fathers are Moses, David, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Malachi, and the apostles.
That's right. Now we're at 256-1360. That's 615-256-1360. If you need to talk to us, we're right here.
You know, one of the things that have really bothered us, both last week someone called here, and we just heard it today again. There's these sayings in the church. People just say things. It comes out of their mouth. It's not in the Bible. One of them we've heard that just absolutely is grueling to us is that Jesus keeps the commandments for you.
Oh, man.
How can that be?
That makes zero sense. I mean, how could you say Jesus didn't commit adultery for you or Jesus didn't steal for you? No, it's your choice. You have a choice every day. You could sin or not sin. You know, the Christians are so mixed up. You know, there's another, I would call it a theory or some kind of replacement theology is another one of these things running around. You know, where the church replaced Israel. Even though the church really means the set apart ones, which is supposed to be Israel, they misconstrued it and they divided up where the church is over here, Israel's over there, and then some people are even saying the church, this Protestant church, replaced Israel. Romans 11:1 says, Paul says, had God cast away his people? God forbid. Paul says, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God had not cast away his people which he foreknew. And, you know, Apostle Paul in chapter 11, he's talking to the Romans. He's making sure they understand God did not throw away his people. Verse 5 says, even so then, at this present time, also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And I just want to read one verse here in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 35. I should say three verses. Tell me if God cast away his people. Thus saith the Lord, that giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel and for all that they have done, saith the Lord.
In other words, it isn't going to happen.
Yes, the church didn't replace Israel. Matter of fact, you're supposed to be Israel.
Let's get back to the basics again. Let's talk about the Israel of God, who they were. You know, there's only one line all through time of the Israel of God. At the time of Jesus, it was the Jewish people, because they had the laws of God. It was given to them.
First, right?
Right, first, exactly. And then it was given to the Gentiles. But again, at that time, there was a split, because that line, there was the Jews that accepted the Messiah, and there were many, many. There were 3,000 right. on Pentecost, right?
That's right.
Okay, but at that same time, there was the Jewish religion that split off that didn't believe in the Messiah. And then later on, that same line changed because then Catholicism came in and changing of the Word of God. And from from the Catholics came the Protestants. But you know what? Behind that whole line, there still was a line of people in the background that kept the commandments of God, that kept his feast days, that knew his calendar, that kept his word. And there is today, and there always will be. But, you know, unfortunately, as few there be that find it.
Well, you know, these few little topics, dual covenant theory, the church and Israel are separate, replacement theology, just these couple of little topics, you can go on and on. Then you have these major, major evangelists like Pat Robinson, who wrote the Ten Offenses.
I'm sorry.
The Ten Offenses. And the Fourth Commandment, here's what he says. God delivered the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai, reminding the Israelites that they had been slaves in Egypt. Now, one of the blessings of freedom was a day each week for rest, a chance to meditate on the fact that their Creator brought them forth the glory of creation in 6 days, and on the seventh day they rested. So here he's saying something good. Then all of a sudden he says, we should carefully avoid being legalistic about the Sabbath, lest we become like the offensive religious leaders of Jesus' day. Hold on a second. I think we have a question or a comment. Is this a question or a comment for one of Messiah?
Yes, I just wanted to say praise the Lord, and I like your show, and I've been listening to you, and keep up the good work.
Is this Brother Paul?
Yes, it is.
Well, we're going to be seeing you tonight for the Sabbath.
Absolutely.
Well, God bless you, and I hope you listen. You have anything you would like to say to everybody?
I just like to say, praise the Lord. The Lord is God. He is one God. He ain't two or three or four or five different gods.
That's right.
And he's the Almighty God. And he said to Abraham, is anything impossible for God? And
Amen.
The answer is no.
No. Amen. Very good.
Praise the Lord.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for calling. Praise
Thank
the
you.
Lord. Well, that was Brother Paul. We'll see him tonight, Lord willing, of course, on the Sabbath.
Now, before we leave that question that we left hanging in the air, thank you, Paul, for calling. And he's just, Paul keeps the Sabbath, too. Okay, let's talk about legalistic. He doesn't want us to be legalistic about the Sabbath. Shall we be legalistic about killing? So if I don't kill anybody, am I being legalistic?
Are you legalistic about having more than one God?
Oh, if you're telling me I can't have more than one God, you're legalistic.
Well, I think you're legalistic for telling me that I can't worship statues.
Really? Well, I think you're legalistic if I can't have bear false witness.
Well, I think you're legalistic if I can't commit adultery.
Well, I think you're legalistic if you can't steal.
Well, I think you're legalistic if you're telling me I can't covet.
Well, see, doesn't that...
Or bear false witness.
see
or
what we mean?
Dishonor my parents.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous.
Of course.
What we're trying to say, everybody, what we're trying to say, why would just one commandment be legalistic and the other nine are okay? No, God gave 10 commandments. You know, Pat Robinson, I feel sorry for him because he's actually teaching people that Sunday is the biblical... it says Sunday in biblical times was called the first day of the week. And then he goes on to say that a custom developed in the Christian Sabbath or the day of the rest, and it replaced the first day. And that's just Catholic doctrine. I mean, I'm going to get a copy of this book. I want to put exact quotes from his book on my website to show people that this man, he needs to repent. Because if you're teaching people to break the commandments, you're in danger.
You know what's really bothersome is one of the excuses that they use is that they met the first day of the week. Well, of course, that wasn't the Sabbath because the next day they sailed, which is work. But what really bothers us is they never, ever mention all the times that they met on the Sabbath. There's many more times that they met on the Sabbath than they met on the first day of the week. Another phone
call.
Is this a question
or comment for one of Messiah? Hello, are you there? Question or comment for one of Messiah? Speak.
Might be a lag, you think?
Okay, I don't know.
Maybe try again.
Whoever's trying to call us, all we hear is like a, I don't know what we hear, actually. What does it sound like, static?
Static, yeah.
So please call back, whoever you are. Anyway, you know, these people that are major evangelists, they're going to be held accountable to God because they're leading thousands and thousands of people astray. You know, I say this. I don't talk about Kurt Cameron and the other guy, Ray Comfort, because I'm against them. I want them to repent because they could do a wonderful work for God. Is this a comment for one of Messiah?
Hi, yeah, I have a comment. This is Ann.
Oh, praise the Lord. How are you?
Praise the Lord. I'm doing great. I just want to say hallelujah and praise the Lord. And I wanted to bring up that I tried to do a search for legalistic. I couldn't find it one time in the Bible. I couldn't find legalistic in there.
I don't think it's in there, Ann.
Yeah, I mean, I don't kind of go along with that. One of the other things that I keep hearing about is, and one thing that was in my own life, actually, about 5 years ago. Every day I woke up thinking that, you know, once saved, always saved.
Oh.
And if you start thinking that certain sins are legalistic, and that, I mean, these are things that will help your conscience be seared. And one of the things that I had to come to terms with is that sin is sin, and the acknowledgement of that is very important, so you know what not to do.
Amen.
It's not once saved, always saved. There's really no verses that you can really go to that say that you're always saved.
That's right.
In fact, I go to Hebrews 10, verse 27, and if I read through that, you'll see, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin.
Amen.
So, I mean, it's really, I mean, all the little things that you can think of during my years of growing up in the church and so on, these are certain things that come to mind. And I'm glad to know the truth now. I just wanted to give a little testimony about that. I have come to terms with that. I was actually really saved and understanding of everything 5 years ago. And I gave my whole entire life in every aspect, I mean, even to the point of keeping all the commandments and not feeling guilty or thinking it's legalistic. And I tell you what, my whole life changed, too.
Amen.
My whole life changed for the better, and I can't even express that with the reality of it all. And praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Amen. Ann, I got a question for you. What are the wages of sin? Can you hear that, Ann?
What is the wages of sin?
I heard the wages of sin. Sorry, go ahead.
The wages of sin is death.
No matter if you're saved or unsaved, the wages of sin is death. Amen.
Right, exactly. It's death.
Uh-huh. Amen. You know, I appreciate your testimony, and I thank you very much for calling.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
See you tonight on the Sabbath.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. This is very nice. We two people already called that actually keep the Ten Commandments. Is there anybody else out there that keeps the Ten Commandments? Call me right now. 256-1360. I know most people only got 9 or 8.
You were just talking about Pat Robinson, who gets close about the 10 offenses, but he drops off the Sabbath. You know that Jesus talked about it. He says, think not. This is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. He says, think not that I am come to destroy the law. He didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. There were certain things he fulfilled about himself and about sacrifice. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, this is the important part for those preachers who are out there who are preaching to break God's commandments. It says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, that means by the people in heaven.
That means the people in heaven call that person the scum of the earth.
If you're teaching people to break the commandments, may the God have mercy on you if
Amen.
There's such a thing. I mean, you know, you're going to be called the least.
But it says, but whoever
shall teach. Is this a question or comment for one in Messiah?
Another phone call.
Is this a question or comment for one in Messiah?
Two questions.
And who's talking?
Do y'all believe in the deity of Christ? And secondly, what is the basis of one's continued acceptance by God? Is it the extrinsic righteousness of Christ imputed to you, or is it keeping the law?
Okay, I'll answer those questions.
Thank you.
Okay, we are a congregation, one of Messiah. We're Jews, and we definitely believe in the deity of Yeshua. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. And I just think that is such an amazing thing. It's so beautiful because He is God. He is the Word of God. And it says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Praise the Lord. Then we believe we're saved by grace through faith. You know, it's a free gift of God. That's when we first repented and we got saved and God brought His knowledge of the Messiah and the blood of Jesus to us and it cleansed our souls. So because of that, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And they're not grievous. So now just like it says in Deuteronomy, it is our righteousness if we keep the commandments of God. And it says in Revelations chapter 22, blessed are they that do his commandments, that you may have right to the tree of life and enter into the gates to the city. So we believe in the whole thing. Praise the Lord.
You know, the misconception out there is that when you're saved, that grace goes on forever. But the real question is this. Why did you need saving? The reason that you needed to be saved is because you were a sinner and the wages of sin is death. So you had to repent of those sins. But you had to know what sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law. It's breaking God's commandments. And the 10 are just the basic. Now, you have to say, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to repent. That means you're going to turn from those sins. And with faith that Jesus is the atonement for your sin, it's his blood that cleanses you from those sins that are past. But when you repent, that means you don't do them anymore. So therefore, after you're saved, you're supposed to walk with God.
You're supposed to keep
his commandments. And if you start breaking them again on purpose, my friend, you are no longer saved.
Exactly.
You just left the Lord.
Amen.
That's the misconception out there. And who would even call you saved if they see you breaking his commandments?
No, it says actually that you've done despite to the spirit
That's
of grace.
Right.
You know, we believe in the mercy of God and the long-suffering of God, but we also believe in the judgment of God.
Amen.
You know, this is a very serious thing. You know, I love when people call in.
Me too.
Anyone out there, we're at 256-1360, 256-1360, 615 area code. Tonight is the Sabbath, and if you have a computer, you can get on PalTalk. This is a program, PALTALK.com. Come in the Christian section. Give yourself a name. We'll invite you. And we could talk on the internet with people all around the world. That's tonight. Tomorrow, I want to invite anyone that's listening. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock, come to Brentwood, Tennessee. We're at 605 Wilson Pike in Brentwood, Tennessee at the New Hope Community Church. Please come and join us. You can ask all the questions you want. We have food. We have singing. We don't take things as an argument. We take things as let's study together. Let's figure this out together. You know, we only got one lifespan. So come and read with us tomorrow on the Sabbath. It's the fourth commandment. And, you know, just like they did in the book of Acts, everybody met on the Sabbath. And they read the law and the prophets.
Amen. And it says that many times in Acts, if anybody would look, they met on the Sabbath. But I also wanted to address, you know, that Jesus is God. You know, if Jesus isn't God, then a man died for your sins. And if a man died for your sins, that can't
be. That would be terrible.
That's against Torah, you know. And in the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
Amen.
Amen.
You know. Let's face it. God can't die. God can't die. So Apostle Paul makes it very clear. A body was prepared. And this body was the body that was born of a virgin. And her name was Miriam. Yes, or better known as Mary in English. And here we have the Holy Spirit inhabited this body. And we have the only begotten Son of God, which is the Word of God made flesh, which is known as Jesus in English or Yeshua in Hebrew. And we are Jews, and we can prove to anybody in the Hebrew Bible, in the English Bible, if you're Jewish out there and listening, we could show you the Messiah in the Bible. I could show you hundreds of prophecies of the Messiah to prove to you in the Hebrew Bible who the Messiah is. You know, it's very clear. And I want to invite you, if you're around tomorrow, I want to say it again. Come to the New Hope Community Church right here in Brentwood, Tennessee. Not far. It's not far from Nashville. 605 Wilson Pike, Brentwood, Tennessee.
That's right. And serving the Lord is a choice. Everyone out there has a choice whether they're going to be obedient to God or be obedient to sin. And to say that Jesus keeps the commandments for you sounds like a liberal point of view where you want the government to do everything for you. No, God wants someone who's a servant to him, not a slave.
How could Jesus not steal for you?
Yeah, how can he not steal for me? No, it's a choice you make.
No, that's right.
Because you have a conscience.
That's right.
And your conscience comes from knowing the commandments.
Amen.
But if your conscience is seared and you think nothing of sinning, then you're in a lot of trouble.
Amen. You know, if you're out there listening, we are called One in Messiah Congregation. And we come from a Hebrew-Jewish perspective. And the Bible was written by Jews. Jesus is a Jew from the tribe of Judah, Yeshua. You know, and people I know in the Bible Belt, he'd never think about that. They thought he was born in Tennessee or Texas. No, he's born in Israel, the Messiah of the world, the Savior, the Moshiach. So we are one of Messiah congregation. We'd love to meet you anyway, all kidding around aside. We'd love to meet anyone. Come and join us tomorrow on the Sabbath. Experience what a Sabbath is. Like, once you experience a Sabbath, you're going to say, is that it? You mean it's fellowshipping with brothers and sisters? You mean it's eating and rejoicing in the Lord? You mean it's singing to the Lord? You mean it's studying? You mean it's witnessing? You mean it's doing something for God one whole day? Is that a crime?
Is that asking too much of God to require one day? And, you know, the biggest problem we have in the churches today is that there's a lot of sin in the church, and they don't think a lot of it. The devil has everybody so busy working, shopping, all the sports and all the things your children do. That's why God gave you. He said he gave it for man.
Amen.
He made the Sabbath for man, and that's why. Because if you don't take that day out for God and read of him and learn of him and praise him, you will forget and you will not make the time. Going to church for an hour and a half on Sunday just doesn't do it.
And Yeshua said, pray that your flight is not on the Sabbath, and that is in the future. Yes, the Sabbath hasn't gone anywhere. Isaiah 66 says, even after there's a new heavens and a new earth, there's still going to be a Sabbath. The Sabbath is a sign to God's people. So join God's people and get this sign. Yes, we praise the name of the Lord. We are one of Messiah congregation. And, you know, we come to you today from our hearts. We love souls. Yes, this is witnessing and testifying. We believe in telling people the truth before it's everlastingly too late. I pray for these ministers around the country. I pray that the God will do something and maybe wake them up before it's everlastingly too late. Telling people to break the commandments is horrible. All these men who wrote corrupt Bible versions.
And when you think about it, most of the messages in the churches today are what God can do for you. The prosperity message and any other message. But you know what? It's what you can do for God. You're obedient to God, that you love God, that you love his laws, you love his commandments, and you want to walk as Jesus walked.
Amen. There's only one Israel of God, and that is the church of God, the church of the living God. And there's only going to be one God when you meet him, one way to walk. He is the door, Jesus says. There's no other way into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
So come into that one door and meet the one God, the one Messiah. And we thank God for the one blood. And there's the one sacrifice forever. And I just praise the name of the Lord this afternoon. We are one of Messiah congregation. And when we meet tomorrow at 605 Wilson Pike, Brentwood, Tennessee, you are invited at 12 o'clock. Call me anytime after the broadcast, 591-9820. That's 615-591-9820. I'm Malachi, minister of One of Messiah. I'd love to hear from you. Shalom, shalom.
And shalom for me, too.
And Shabbat shalom tonight. God bless you. Praise the name of the Lord.